was talking to me the other day. We were having lunch and just talking about what's going on in life and what's going on in the world. And he said, I have this thing happened to me, this vision. I saw this stuff, and I think I'm supposed to share it at Deep Roots, and it's really made an impact on me. I think it's for our body. I don't think it's just for me. And I said, well, why let those deep rooters hog it all? Why not share it with all of us? And so he's going to share what the Lord's been showing him and saying to him. It's Jim Kangas. He's wonderful.
Amen. Amen. Give me just a second, because I got to set up a little bit.
Hey, thank you. And you can tell that to your neighbor. Look to your neighbor and say, you are awesome.
Hey, it works better if I do it this way, huh? So what? That's where we have been, right? That's been what Jeff's been talking on. And so Kevin asked me if I would put a title on what I was going to say. And I would say, see what? And it would be, see what the master's plan. Because he has a plan for this city. And he's been showing me parts of it. And what I have is a part. And I know it's not complete, but I know that it's just burning within me. When the Bethel team was here, I was over here just worshiping. And Alex, she's the gal from England, right? Yes, thank you. So I was there, and she put her hand on me, and it scared the crap out of me because I wasn't expecting that, but she was praying, and then she came up later and said, I want to tell you what I saw. Because I was praying like this with my hand on my stomach and one arm up, and she goes, I was walking by, and I got a twinge in my tummy, and she goes, I think you're pregnant with something. And, you know, that is kind of an odd word, but if you hear it with a British accent, it sounds so much better. But it was really true. That was what was going on with what I was saying to Jeff at that conversation we had at coffee, is that this is in me, and I'm holding on to it, but I know I got a verse for this. And I'm glad you're here, Jenna, because I was going to figure out how to get it to you. It just needs to be released. I need to share it. I need to get it out there because it is the Father's heart for this area. So this is back to the verse. And we have been testifying today, and it is true that God is good. And, you know, sometimes stuff happens and you don't know why, but you know that it's God. So you just embrace it and you go forward with it. And so I was looking for a verse that I was trying to, that I wanted to find for this teaching. And I heard Psalms 38. And so I started looking in there and I didn't find what I'm looking for, but this is what I found. Sorry, this is Psalms 38:9. Lord, you know all my desires and my deepest longing. My tears are liquid words, and you can read them all. So, yay, God. Because if you watch commercials on TV, they're going to tell you you're crazy if you do stuff like this. But I am... If I am crazy, then I am crazy for God. And so I do. I embrace it. And I am thankful for it. And I'm thankful for his goodness in my life. So, see what? And we've alluded to it. See what God is doing. Because I know I've been talking to you, and I know that people are seeing and hearing and sensing things of the kingdom. And that God is at work in us. Now. And this is what I'm sensing, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm going to share. I want to start with this. If you look at my frame of reference for sharing this today, there's this. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." Last week, Jeff was talking about three stages, steps, I don't know what it was, of worship. Excuse me. I don't know what the first one was. What was the first one?
Worship or revival?
No, well, it ended up praise and worship. Maybe it was revival. Maybe it was the three steps of revival. It's thankful, thanksgiving. All right. And then it went to praise and then to worship. Yeah, in worship. And the thing about worship is when you get there, it becomes about him. And when it gets to that place where it is all about him, the rest of it will take care of itself. You know? He will pour out his spirit. The things of the kingdom will be accomplished when we are in that place. The second thing is that I am a child of God. And that is the place from which, now you can put child, you can put son, daughter, I don't care, I just like child. And that is the place where I receive from him. If my chains are broken off, it is because I am his child. If he has given me, not if, the talents that he has given me, the gifts, the callings, it is because I am his child. So, that's how I'm going into what I'm going to share. There's just been a lot happening in my life, a lot of God stuff, and I'm finding that my days are not my own. And it's more of just a simple choice than a sacrifice for me. It's just choosing to be with him, and he makes incredible things happen. And what I'm finding as I'm being in that place is that the words I want to speak are his words. And what I desire is that what I do, what I say, would bring honor and glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm recognizing that there has been a shift, an awakening, and an acceleration. A shift in that, I'm going to say it's we actually, because we're all on this journey together, that we have journeyed rightly to the place of come to me. And that's in his presence. That's what we are enjoying right now. A picture I had during worship is there's this river flowing. And at first it was in this room, and then it just got beyond this room, and it's continuing to flow over us and around us and through us, and it is a river of life. And what you need, you can take a cup and drink. You can jump in and be submerged. I mean, your choice. But God is continually for us. He is continually providing for us. So we've come to this place right now where it says, come to me. But I think we're going to shift to the place where we are, come with me. As he begins to move, as he begins to establish his plan in this city, it's not going to be that we just stay here in this place. It's, although we are filled and nourished and strengthened and encouraged from this place, Jesus was out there. So that's the shift. The awakening is that he has provided all that we need for what's next. It's like that river. And I don't, okay, that's the word. It's like the manna. What we need is right there. God has provided it. It's just bending over. It's taking hold of it. I don't want to say, what I was thinking was like it's low-hanging fruit, but that somehow doesn't make it sound like it's of value, but is incredibly valuable. It's just easily accessed. The last thing is an acceleration. It's the kingdom of God is moving forward, and it's moving forward at a faster rate. And we need to step into that. Because that's the phrase that works for me for how I access the kingdom of God, is stepping into it. And sometimes it's an actual, okay, Lord, it's a physical, just stepping in. So my body agrees with my spirit. And other times I just say, okay, Lord, it's so good. You are here, I'm stepping. God has been faithful to me in my quiet times. And there in the morning, because I'm old and I get up early. I don't stay up very late. That thing at Denny's almost killed me. But when my quiet time ends, it doesn't end this way. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I'll see you when I get back. It's that we walk out and we walk together, you know. Jenna says, change the atmosphere, and I love that. Jeff looks at it this way. God is already there before me. It's just, what is he doing in the room, you know? And that was my big challenge after the Bethel team was here, because, you know, Friday night to Sunday, we were in with God, and there was a lot going on, and it was his presence, and it was awesome. But I said, okay, Lord, what's going to happen on Monday? Because that's going to be the big thing. That's when life is going to want to say, hey, forget that. You know, you need to do this. You know, get back into the routine. And so, thank you, Jesus. I am growing in that where I go, he is there, and where I go, we go together. Oh Lord, so what I'm sensing in this city, in what's going on, is that God, He is the big G God. We are his creation. And he has always been at work in his creation. He has always been working towards establishing his will, completing his plan. What I think we're beginning to see now is our eyes are beginning to be opened, and we're beginning to understand that. Whether you see angels, whether Kim, I was talking with Kim the other day, and she said, I went to lunch with my mom and the ladies at her table, and your mom has, what is it? Alzheimer's dementia. So apparently, you know, they're not very chatty. But when Kim was at the table, all the ladies were talking amongst one another. And that was the kingdom come. That is the power of the kingdom that we carry within us. I have this understanding that what God is doing, it's a holy thing, and it freaks me out a little bit because, you know, consuming fire, all that, you know, it's getting badly. but he is good. So in the fact that he's doing something holy amongst us, there's a sense that I need to honor that. And yet at the same time, I want to grab hold of it and embrace it. And so I just encourage you to go after it. If you get close and you get burned by a little fire of God, it's okay. Yeah, just jump in the river, right? So I want to go back to this, and this is from the Shorter Catechism. It says, what is the chief end of man? This is, what is our one main purpose? And it is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Okay, well, that's the intro. There's only 6 points to the sermon, so I'm sure we'll be out of here by tomorrow at least. Okay. So like I've already shared, this is just, it's been stirring in me, and I've known it. I wanted to share it, and I was going to make a spot to share it at Deep Roots because I lead it. So, you know, why not share it? But then I was grateful that the opportunity came up that I can share it here. And what I'm hoping is the part that I share will stir something within you. Because I know that I have just a part. It's like when a woman gives birth to the baby, thankfully the thing doesn't come out full grown, right? It starts small. Yeah, well, I have one analogy that Tammy Sanchez gave me, but I'm not going to say that here. It's not bad. It's just, okay, she said it's just like poop in a football. So I don't know how that works, but that's the closest thing I can get to it. So you can, ladies, if you feel the need to tell me what it's really like later, I'll listen. So I know that there's more to be added. And not only do I believe that there is more to be added from people in this room, I believe that there's more to be added from people in the city church, in this area around us. And I get this sense of freedom, of being unrestricted and without limitation as we step into what God's doing in the city of Longview. So, since the... Okay, I was going to try to sit still, but I'm just not going to be able to do that. Since the first of the year, God has shown me three things, and he's woven them together in this vision or this picture that I got. And the first thing is intentionality. The second thing is master plan. And the third thing is all aboard. And if you listen to me teach before, you know I just grab other people's stuff. So that's what I did here. The intentionality is a word that Jeff Beck had for us at the beginning of 2017. There you are, bro. Because with these on, I can't see you out there. And it's a word for me that has become, for 2017, like my stake in the ground. This is my point of reference. From where I'm starting my day, it's going to be starting at this point of intentionality. The second thing is master plan. And that is something that the city of Longview has come up with, that God is using to speak to us to what his plans are for the church in this city. And the last thing is all aboard. It's a word that we listened to January 27th at Deep Roots, a word by Tom Hardiman. And I'll go over those. I asked Jeff Beck, since he's here, since he had the word, if he would come and share that word with us, because why repeat it when you have the person here? I'm talking to you right now.
Thanks. Well, yeah. No, I love it. Jim's probably been walking out a whole lot more than I have.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, I just had it up here. Where did it go? Oh, yeah, here it says. So we did the 10-day fast at the beginning of the year to get a word, to just see where direction we were going. And on the 10th day, we were just chilling. I was hanging out with my wife. We're getting ready to go somewhere. And it just hit me, and I was like, snap. He goes, I feel like the word of the Lord is intentional. And I put, there's a grace on our decisions and our choices, and everything that we do matters. I heard someone once say, maximize the moments. And I feel that's where we are. We don't want to do business as usual. And there is a blessing of intentionality that's ours for the taking. So that's the word that I got. And what it means is we don't just come and, you know, like grab our coffee and then come to church and then go sit in our spot. And then just like, okay, and then the worship team does their thing. I clap a bit and then Jeff does his thing, and then we walk out and we go have lunch, and it's like, no, dude, we came for a reason. Like, are we just coming here for like the club, like to get the points? Or are we trying to get after something? And like, so that's what it is. It's like, are we getting here intentionally? Are we just coming because this is what we do on Sunday? And so, and like Jim was saying, it's not just a Sunday thing. Like when Bethel came or what have you, it's not just a Sunday thing. It's like, what are we doing Monday? Are we getting intentional on Monday? Yeah. And so that was the idea of intentionality. So there's a real quick thing. Yeah. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's it. So like, are we going to do the same thing over and over again and be like, God, why aren't you here? It's like, that's the definition of insanity. So we need to be intentionally doing. So that's that.
Yeah. Amen. So, just a few things as I was just pondering that. Intentional means purpose. It's the motivation and the rationale behind an action or decision to achieve a goal or a desired outcome. Philippians 3:12-14 says this. Not that I have already obtained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is intentional. And it's really simple. It's just offering your time to the Father and saying, here I am. He will be faithful to speak. The second thing in this intentionality is grace. Grace is defined as the power of God at work in our lives to do what we cannot by ourselves. That would be Pastor Jeff that came up with that definition, or at least he used it in a teaching, so I attribute it to him. Yes. So, if Jeff had been teaching from the Amplified that day, this is what grace would be. Grace is the power. It is the dynamite of God, revealed and observable, working and releasing and covering our lives, moving us to do what we cannot do by ourselves. Grace pulls us off the couch and into service of the King. It gives us the boldness to risk. So I saw intentionality in my own life. And I saw intentionality in Evangel. On March 5th, Sunday night, Deep Roots, after the team had left and we were, here we are, let's carry this on. Jeff came up and said, right from that word, we cannot go back to business as usual. Brenda, and I kind of was out for a bit, and I walked in the middle of this, and so she said something about shifting gears. So this is how I heard it, that there has been a change in gears. And what happens when you change gears is that you are moving forward, but when you shift a gear, you move forward faster. You accelerate. You don't work as hard because of the ratio, and you get there quicker. So there is a shift in the gears. There's a shift in the pace that we're moving at. Don Gorens said this as we were talking at the end. I feel like a line's been drawn in the sand. And then he said, no, it's more like this. It's been etched in stone. Yeah, that's good. And so just in thinking of that and pondering over that, I thought of in Joshua chapter 4, when Israel crossed the Jordan to the promised land. When the ark was in the middle, Joshua said, we're going to choose 12 guys, and they're each going to grab a stone. The 12 tribes are represented. They're each going to grab a stone, and we're going to set it up on the other side. And that is going to be a memorial to what God has done for us. And that's how I took that. There's been that line etched in the stone. That is a point of reference. It is a memorial for us that this day, this is what God has done, and we are moving forward from here. The last phrase in that intentional word is maximize the moment. Small things do matter. That's how big things get big, because they may start as a small thing. And what you do when you maximize the moment is you just listen for God and you be obedient and you stay in that moment. There was Christine, right? Yes, sorry, thanks. Said it this morning. There's another part to maximizing in the moment, and that is being in the moment. It's when we come here, we get rid of all the junk that's hanging on us from the week, you know, or whatever it is. When we come here, we become intentional, we become focused, and our purpose is to serve and worship the living God. Huh. And you can do that, you know, you don't just have to save it all up for Sunday. You can do it throughout the rest of the week. Okay. Patrick, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a second. So really what I saw is Longview as a city of refuge. And that was a word given to us by Bob Jones. It was the same, kind of ties in with that Eagle's Nest thing of Bethel, Longview, and Kelowna. And that was back in 2000. So, interestingly enough, in the Bible, they talks about in the New Testament, there's six cities of refuge. And the first one that I read was Kadesh, and that means sanctuary, which is basically a place of refuge. The interesting thing about Kadesh, and this is where it pertains to us, it was in the tribe of Issachar. And so that'll make more sense later. But anyway, I've always been intrigued by the Civic Center. If you don't, that's the artist's depiction of the Civic Center. And I know stuff was changing, right? R.A. Long used to be in the center on the little bust, and they broke all that stuff out. And so I said, well, I wonder what's going on. So I just Googled City Park, R.A. Long Park, Longview, Washington. And about three things down, there's this PDF that says R.A. Long Park Master Plan. I said, well, that sounds good. Let's check it out. So this is where God takes the plans of man and uses it to confirm what he wants to do in this city. So the plan that they are working on right now is the fourth version, which in four speaks of creation. So you gotta love that God's hand is on it. It's bordered by 16th Street on this side. 17th Street is in front of the Monticello. Louisiana would be in front of the library, and Larch would be in front of the post office. So as I was looking at that, when I looked at that picture, two things jumped out at me right away. First is the fountain in the center. And I thought of, and the verse from John 7:38 came to me. It just says, for those who believe, out of their heart shall flow rivers of living water. And so this is where it becomes corporate for the city church, because that park is the center, if you will, the heart, the innermost being of this city. And in its heart, in the heart of the city, needs to be our voice, the voice of the city church, that there would be rivers of living water coming out. Because when Longview becomes, when we fully embrace and when we step into Longview as a city of refuge, that is going to be key, that the city church is speaking life. The next thing, and this is really why I'm up here, is because it's bordered by 16 and 17. And I said, that's the years we are in. It's 2016 and it's 2017. And so the work that God is doing, he is doing now. And that is really, it is, thank you. I was looking for a word, you can tell I was out. And so the other thing that I want to say, this kind of back to the fountain, that Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And Jesus saying, let anyone come, he's saying basically, anybody can be needing refuge. Anybody, everybody needs my touch. We sang today part of the verse. This is the verse that I was looking for when I stumbled across that, Psalms 38, is Psalms 34:8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you know what the second part of that verse is? Blessed or happy is anyone who takes refuge in me. The second thing that that fountain symbolizes to me, and I got this right away and it didn't make sense until the Bethel weekend, but the fountain symbolizes praise, you know, water just shooting up, just glorifying God. And so I said, Lord, praise. Praise is important. How does it tie in? How does it work? And it works like Saturday night when the Bethel team was here. And Jenna came up and said, tonight, we're just going after God. We're just going to worship him. And it is the seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So from that point of worship, that is how we are transformed into the rivers of living water that we can speak out as life. '16 and '17, as I said, they are years to me. That is the time we are in now. So it is, if you want to think in terms of Greek words for times, it is a kairos moment for us. And the Greeks defined that as the supreme moment, which is pretty awesome. The thing about 16, it symbolizes love and loving. In the Old Testament, of the names and titles that were given or attributed to God, 16 of them spoke of his unending love for the children of Israel. 17, it symbolizes overcoming the enemy in complete victory. So here we are, the city of Longview, the city church. We are, on one side is his love. On the other side is victory. Louisiana is this. Louisiana speaks to what is your vision for Longview as a city of refuge. So Louisiana was named after a guy, Louis Exiv, or maybe you know him as Louis XIV. Okay, thank you. I didn't know if that was going to go over or not, but I appreciate your laughter. So Louis XIV, this is how he ties into the whole thing. So here's my two ends of this whole thing of Longview as a city of refuge. One is the Statue of Liberty, which says this: give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And so, while I appreciate that, I get kind of a dark, kind of like Charles Dickens, London fog, coughing coal dust kind of look to it, right? With the City Church of Longview, the one bright light in this whole mass of things. Or, this is the other point that I see. City of Longview, city of refuge, can be like Versailles and that's the tie in to Louis the 14th. And what it is, this is a beautiful place. It's a gorgeous palace. There are fountains and canals. It's well crafted. It's built. There's a beauty about it. And the reason I'm saying that is because I dropped off the deposit for work at the bank, and then I turned around and started driving up Commerce, and I was sitting in my truck, and in front of me, everything was black and white and dark, and it just didn't look healthy. But behind me, as I was going forward, it's like there's shops, and the thing is alive. It's bright white. There's palace. There's marble front stores. There's people walking. There's activity. And I said, well, why not? Why not? Cannot City of Refuge, I guess what I'm saying, it doesn't mean it necessarily has to be a bummer place to come to. It can be a place of life. It can be a place of excitement and a place of happening. And I get that because I know that when Jeff prays, he prays for businesses. He prays for entrepreneurship. He prays and speaks that life into this city. And if we are to be a true city of refuge, then we need to have that life that we can share. Because yes, we probably will get the huddled masses, but we want to be a place of life that they come to. Okay, and the fourth thing is large. And like I said, I only know in part, so I got nothing. So if we go from the city, we've done the heart, we've done the streets around. Now if we go to the buildings, the library. In the library, it represents knowledge. And I think for us right now, there is a release of divine knowledge for evangel. Because we need to fully embrace the sons of Issachar call upon us. And we need to step in. And now is the time, 16, 17, now is the time that we are living in, that we need to step in and embrace it. And the sons of Issachar were those that understood the times and knew what Israel should do. And so I'm beginning to get a little knowledge. But I want to know what to tell Israel. I want to know what to tell the church. Here is the way. Not because it's me. I do want to walk in that calling. I don't care who it says it. It doesn't have to be about me. I just want to know that the church is following God's direction. Okay. Monticello. So the Monticello Hotel, here's the cool thing. If you're going to have a city of refuge, you're going to need some accommodation, right? So that's what a hotel is. But right now, the new owners are working on restoring the hotel. They're not remodeling it. They're not whatever. They are restoring it back to its original intent. Talk to one of the guys. They found some sort of tile in there. I don't know what the name of it is, but the owners went out and got the special machine that would clean and restore and polish. So we honor that, Lord. As you keep coming around the post office. And so the post office I see as a communication center. I was watching, what was it? The Perfect Game. It's a movie about golf, right? This amateur guy that wins the U.S. Open. Never really happened except way, 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 way back. But as they were doing it in that time, they had this tent set up, and all the press guys were in there banging away on their typewriters, and they were calling on phones, sending it out. And that's what I see happening at the post office, that as God moves, when God moves, that is going to be, from that point, it's going to be the communication of, hey, in the city of Longview, God is doing this, and it is going to go out to the world. City Hall, That is implementation. That is government. That is the government does the things that it needs to do for the citizens. But here's what I like about that. We have this thing about separation of church and state. And God doesn't care about that. Because he will use the state to accomplish his purposes. So he has used the city of Longview to give us this plan that tells us what the church needs to be about. The last thing I got in this day as I was getting these downloads, I guess. Hey, Jim. Hey.
Part of the redesign, the motivation for the redesign,
yeah,
was to create a gathering place for people in the city.
Crap. Sorry. I'm just fortunate it was that word. Yes. Okay. Whoa, we're coming up on page 44. It is on this whole thing. Thank you for saying that, Jeff. 44. Well, that's what it says down in the corner. That's why I named it 44. Right there. Okay. So here is the thing. And in the military, they have this term R&R, which is rest and relaxation or rest and recuperation. So here's what I see for Longview's R&R. It's refuge and revival. Because if you look, this is the intent. So basically you can see from the back of the fountain forward towards 16th Street. So small events, that would be the tan area. It's 5,000 to 8,000 people. Medium events would be 11,000. That would be the yellow. And then if you do the gray, which is going out to the streets and around, that's 18,000 to 35,000 people. Would that not be awesome? Or it will be awesome when that there are 35,000 people gathered down at the Civic Center. And they have come to worship and praise and honor God. So, amen. Thank you, Jeff, because I had that written in, but I was skipping over it. So the other thing that I want to share with you during this time is that when I was just engaged with this, in this word, I was seeing angels everywhere. I saw angels riding on AMR vehicles. AMR is, that's ambulance, ambulance thing, because Jeff works for AMR, and when I see an AMR thing, I pray for Jeff, because when Jeff is in a situation, he will pray, and his short prayer is, I command life, and I love that. So I just, wherever he's at today, Lord, I ask that your favor and your blessing would be upon him and that he would be bold in commanding life. So I saw, I was headed on Nichols, and an AMR vehicle made a left turn in front of me onto 20th, went across the bridge. But as it was going, I saw four angels sitting on top of it, one on each corner. Yeah. So I said, Jeff, was that you? He goes, no. I said, well, I think one of your coworkers got blessed. So I'm just sharing it with you. I'm passing it on. The other thing is that I saw them on the next day, I think, going to work. I saw them sitting on this vehicle in front of me. And then as I was going up 16th, 17th, you know, past 20th in those streets, there were angels on patrol. There were angels patrolling the streets. The last thing I saw, and I don't know if it pertains to the fountain thing or not, but angels were working. They were digging trenches in the Civic Center. And what? Oh, is that what those guys were sanitation workers? Yeah, okay, thanks. Well, I don't see as clearly as I think I do. But my sense in seeing that is the word that Elisha gave to his servant when they were under attack, is that more that are for us than are against us. And his eyes were open. And so That's what I'm just sensing. Where it becomes real for us is all aboard. So on January 27th, we got together down here. January 27th. One last little piece. So all aboard is a train thing, obviously. And there is a train in the Civic Center right off. There's an old steam engine. So all aboard, January 27th, evangelist listened to a word from Tom Hardiman. And this is the phrase that grabbed me. So it's repeated twice in this tape because he got it once as a phone message, right? Yeah. Yeah. So then he's riding a train to Salem? Is that where he was?
Yes.
Yes. So he's riding a train coming into Salem. The train stops. And this is the announcement. There's been a slight delay. We'll be arriving shortly. Move from the observation deck to your seat of assignment.
Amen. Yeah, it's true.
So, trains, because I shared on them trains about a year ago, and trains to me are representative of time. Greeks have two words, chronos, which is the time we measure. You would look at that and say, Jim, you're 10 minutes over. that would be chronos. Kairos. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the hurry is, right? When we get to heaven, I mean, it's not like stuff is going to stop at noon on Sunday. The other word for time is kairos, and that is the supreme moment. That is the moment of opportunity. It is the best moment to engage. And that's where I feel we are. Finding your seat of assignment is a kairos moment. It's a time of opportunity. It's about obedience and not performance. Jeff shared a couple weeks ago about Saul. Saul was getting ready for battle. The word was, Samuel is coming. I will offer the sacrifice. Samuel will. And then you go into battle. Well, Saul, the enemy was freaking him out. The soldiers got a little nervous. So he went and go ahead and he offered the sacrifice. That was performance. That was obedience is trusting God. Performance is I'll take care of this myself. And it costs Saul dearly. Yeah. It did cost him everything. So the seat of assignment, here's what it is. It's not so much about your what you do for the kingdom. It's not even about who you are in the kingdom. But your seat of assignment is a place of privilege. And it's not a privilege that we have acquired by stuff or our talents or what we've done, but it's a seat of privilege because it is given to us by the Father through the Son. And so, here's how this all ties together. The churches, I see the churches of Longview as a city train, right? And on that train is your seat of assignment. You, most of us here, that seat would be in Evangel's car. And Evangel has a car of assignment. Part of that for us is the Issachar. Part of it is the breaking. It's a car, man. I just got that when he repeated it. And the other thing is like breaking down dividing walls. That is who we are. Well, on this train, we're linked to, I don't know, say North Lake's in front of us. North Lake has people on that train that are needing to find their seat of assignment. They're needing to operate as North Lake in their car of assignment, and on and on and on. And so when the City Church of Longview, when we as individuals step into our seat of assignment, and then when the churches of Longview corporately step into their seats of assignment, that is when that fountain will begin flowing rivers of living water. Last thing that I want to say. So on, hey, Wayne, are you coming now?
Didn't mean to interrupt you, but you were describing that Civic Center part and all the different pieces and everything. Yeah. Did you comment on Lark Street?
Well, I didn't have anything, but do you have something?
Well, there's people in this room that know a lot more about trees than I do. But one thing that I learned about, learned about trees was about, I don't know, 17 years or so ago, my wife and I did a once-in-a-lifetime thing where we made a trip to Scotland.
Okay.
And we went there in March of 2000. And had a wonderful time, but it wasn't the most scenic time of the year to be in Scotland. The heather wasn't in bloom or anything like that, and we had the privilege of staying at a resort inside. We stayed at these condominiums, they call them cottages, inside the walled gardens of Taymouth Castle, right on the shores of Loch Tay in the middle of the Scottish Highlands. And it was a great trip, really enjoyed it. But while we were there, I noticed that the trees over across the lake, the loch, were just, they all looked dead. It was really strange. They looked like a fir tree of some kind. But they were just all brown and dead, and needles looked horrible and everything on them. And I asked someone, I said, have you guys had some type of disease or pest infestation or something that's come through here and killed all these trees? Because they looked dead. And they said, no, those trees are very much alive. They're larch trees. Mm. And they're one of the very few conifers, fir trees, that whose leaves are actually needle-like, that actually are seasonally, they lose all the appearance of life. Mm. But they're very, very much alive.
Okay.
Wow. And every spring, life reblooms.
Are we not? What is tomorrow? Oh, happy birthday, Rick.
But anyway, things that sometimes don't look like they're very much alive can be very, very much alive and look that way very soon.
Yeah. And tomorrow is the first day of spring, is it not? Yeah.
Okay, just this is 2 seconds here. The larch tree has a name called the Nestor. Okay, interesting, the eagle's nest comes into play here. And you look up Nestor, and it means, one of the meanings is homecoming.
Homecoming. Whoa, yay. So, you know, I think you guys are after this finding the seat of assignment thing. I think that, okay.
One of the things that happened at the beginning of this was they moved the statue that had always been at the center of that park, which was of Ari Long. They moved it over in front of the library. And as leaders in the city, we've always seen limitation, the spirit of limitation, as being one of the reasons why we couldn't get things done here. And we always, there's something, I had a spiritual experience there with a stick banging on that statue. And the whole purpose was to break those three spirits. And so I believe that moving that statue out of the center and over to the side had moved it out of the way so that the future could come.
Yay. All right. Anybody else?
So I was actually going to ask Jeff to tell you that experience that took place, because the Lord, while you were talking, was reminding me of that very exact experience that took place there in the city center. One of the other things that took place in the city center is this. Let me get to it really fast. Billy Sunday was here, and he declared this from the city center. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and may his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, bless us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And that was proclaimed right there in that city center by Billy Sunday. And he declared that this would be that city. And then the 44, Isaiah 44, means a lot to this city. But now listen, O Longview, my servant, whom I have chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, you were pregnant, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Longview, my servant, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring. It's a generational blessing from that fountain that's springing up in the middle of that city center. And my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by the flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name of Israel.
I just felt like adding onto this, me and Jeff and Jenna and my sister, we went to this park a few years ago and we stuck a sword in the ground and we prophesied over that park and we went around for a couple hours and we did some prayer over it and we really felt like this was the heart of things and what you're sharing is exciting to me. I didn't know this was happening, so I don't know. I just felt like I wanted to add to it that this is where we're at, too.
Amen. Amen.
We had no clue what we were doing, honestly.
God did. Yeah.
Just well, God said, you go.
Yes, exactly. It's the whole obedience thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw Jim where he was a fountain that had three tears.
No, that was what Lisa saw. Or not Lisa, Linda. That was your... Your fountain, the fountain that you saw here, here, and she said she had a bird's eye view of it, and because you saw it as a three-tiered thing, and when she saw it, she just saw the rings and things going out. That's where that came in, but. Yeah. Well, I was going to end it with something different, but it. Doesn't.
Just to confirm, I felt like I was supposed to put money at your feet, you know how.
Every train has a conductor.
Yeah, well, that would be the Holy Spirit.
It's really interesting because that week before the team came from Bethel, I'd had that dream, and I told you about that dream that I was over by the library, up high, looking, and. The water was coming, the river was just like thundering, it was tumultuous, coming towards us, and there were people up there praying, you know, we were like in a room like above the library, looking west, and I looked over, and there was Jim, and I said, Jim, should I go to my house, do you think it's at my house yet, and he said, oh yeah, it's already there, and we were just standing there waiting for it to hit. Gladly, you know, we weren't excited, we weren't shouting, but we were just like, here it comes. Yeah. So I saw it, it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and so everything you're saying is just like, that's it. Praise God.
Okay. Well, I don't have to do nothing because people are just coming up.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
When I was doing research on the city, I found that when they started the meeting to decide to come to Longview to decide whether they were going to do this, the scripture that they read was Psalm 67, and that's exactly what Billy Sunday prayed over the city.
Hi, Kim, welcome.
Well, this is just revived a couple dreams I had many years ago about the Living Waters, with the old Penny's building. Yeah, I had a dream, and it came from the top floor, and I mean, it was a gusher. There was just water coming just down all the stairs and out into the city, and it just flooded the whole city. And another dream was there was a huge fountain in the city center, and Jeff was on top. And there were stairs, and then they wound around, and people were coming up to get baptized. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that.
Just one more. Okay. I too had a dream that from this direction, a huge, beautiful tsunami. It was a beautiful, crystal clear, blue tsunami was going to come and hit the city. It was terrifying and beautiful all at the same time. I kind of wanted to run at first, but they said, no, you got to face this thing full on or else it'll destroy you. It'll be so powerful. And when I saw the picture that you showed of the city center, it blessed my heart. The first thing that the Lord says, it's completely cleared. I've always been bothered by going around it. It's always like hurt my heart. The heart of the center of the city center has always been covered and surrounded by these dark trees. And it's always bothered me. And I just believe that that's even significant. That it'll be clear. Everything will be able to be seen clearly. And the heart will be shown true.
So, the verse that I'm just getting right now is this. That he who began a good work will be faithful and true to complete it. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for sharing your heart with us today. Thank you for giving us ears to hear and eyes to see. For you are most holy. Lord, I thank you for what you've spoken and what you've stirred up and what you've activated in this room. But Lord, I pray we release it and we send it out to the city. So Lord, because there are so much more than just us. So much more than just us. And Lord, we fully and completely step into your plan, to your river, to your anointing, to what you're doing in this city. We say, come. Come, Lord God. You are faithful and true. You are righteous and holy. You are worthy of all glory and honor and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.